Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, January 11th.
Yes.
A crazy morning, according to Tori in D.C.
Crazy stuff, guys. Trump gave a press conference. It was, if you wanted to see a huge bunch of fireworks, it was everything you wanted it to be.
So is this like you think a preview of what we're going to have?
Yeah, yeah. And he announced a lot of things. A lot of things went wrong. A lot of things. It was crazy. And in the middle of it, he accused CNN of fake news, yelling at the reporter as the reporter yelled back for a good like 15 seconds.
Really?
Which is a long time. Okay. Yeah. Back and forth. And finally saying, you're fake news. I won't answer your questions.
Wow.
And it was crazy.
I know CNN's front page is like huge headline.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I mean, it was insane. And what he did is he set up that he's not doing a blind trust. He's just stepping down a little bit from the Trump campaign. I'm sorry, the Trump business. So he's not doing what we thought he would do. He's staying involved. And he kept saying, I can do this because I'm the president. There's no conflict of interest if I'm the president. And his lawyer said the same thing. And that's directly against what a lot of lawyers think is unconstitutional, where it says a president, even in the executive branch, cannot partake in any of these things.
Right.
So
right.
It's really insane.
It's conflict of interest.
So a nonpartisan lawyer got on NBC and was like, he's setting himself up for the three lawsuits already. Judicial, legislative, and executive will all file a lawsuit against him if he does his first day of office.
Oh God.
Yeah, it's going to be from the start.
I think we're going to be spending 4 years fighting with our president.
That's now that exactly. And the one last thing I'll say is the leak that kind of happened. He said he blamed the CIA. So you have a president now against CNN and against his own intelligence community.
That is
a crisis. That's bad.
I know. But at the same token, I guess Obama gave his speech last night and you were crying and everything.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Well, how do I know? She published a picture, folks. You know?
I had ugly crying face and someone said I still look cute. And that was like the nicest thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell?
And I was on Fox last night to discuss Trump with a GOP strategist.
Uh-huh.
And
how did that go?
It went very well. Really? We happened to bring up some golden showers that were trending. If you don't know, you know, we don't know if it's substantiated. There's allegations that the Russians have information that Trump enjoyed golden showers between prostitutes. We don't know if this is true. This is completely alleged, but BuzzFeed is running with it, as did CNN, without giving details because they have an anonymous British intelligence source. So it went crazy yesterday with the pee jokes.
So they're saying that Trump had been involved in urination sex with prostitutes.
What they said in the thing that BuzzFeed released documents.
Right.
And it said, and to be honest, what it said is Russia had both Trump and Clinton stuff on both of them. And they ended up just picking Trump.
Right.
But they had stuff on both. And this was part of that.
Right.
And the 2-page document says he was in a hotel room and he enjoyed what he asked for 2 prostitutes to urinate
on him.
Not on him. On each other or the room.
Oh, okay.
And it was just so the amount of pee jokes on it was trending, like it was number one. So people were like, you're in trouble.
You're pissed.
You're impeached. So this is again unsubstantiated for a lot of reasons, but you know, BuzzFeed and CNN did go with it. They just didn't really discuss details, but BuzzFeed did release these documents with the words golden showers in it.
But you realize though that every country does these things to other countries. It's not just the Russians doing
it to
us.
Yeah, but it's the first time.
We're manipulating shit all over the place.
To be honest, that's true. Yeah. But it's the first time that he called it all fake. He said, and that's why he wouldn't speak to CNN News anymore. He called them fake.
So that's the world according to Trump, I guess.
Yeah. And at the very end, he said this, my sons will take over. And if they don't do a good job, I'll say, you're fired. And I was like, I just want to drown myself. I just can't anymore.
Okay, well, in that case, folks, we'll concentrate on entertainment and other things.
No, that was very entertaining. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no.
Very entertaining. I mean,
it sounds entertaining. I'm going to have to catch that because...
You'll
it's ridiculous.
It.
You know, we put a clown up there.
Yeah.
But the more I think about it, the more I realize I think this was a result of what happened before. We're not going to have the discussion again because we both know how we feel, right?
Right.
About Obama and everything.
Yes, we
I can't imagine why else somebody would be, you know, unless this is like a knee-jerk reaction, you know.
I think that's exactly what this is.
I know. I think so. You know, people would just... upset and they voted with anger, you know?
Yeah, but that's, yeah. Yes, yeah. I'll just say that's voting with stupidity if you do that. Yeah. I really do. But we'll not get into it.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he's going to be here in charge, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's going to be our president and, you know, we got to support him, whatever we do, because it is our country, you know, so whatever. But maybe he'll wisen up in a year.
I don't think so. The guy from NBC was like, we all thought he would do these five things because we thought maybe he had wisened. We thought he would. And they were like, he didn't do a single one. They were like shocked. It was very outrageous, the stuff really? That was said. But, you know.
Tell me something. How did the Sessions confirmation here
very
go?
Good. I have to be honest. I don't like Sessions, but I got to be honest.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm fair. He was very good.
Really?
He was very prepared. He right away discussed sexual assault and saying he would definitely go against Trump if he thought something was illegal. He thought he was standing up for LGBT rights as a hate crime. He said in the past when he was not allowed to be a federal judge because of some racist comments and some things that have been said, he didn't pass to be a federal judge. He said, I wasn't prepared then. I'm prepared now. Mm. And he came across better than I think
Nice.
He did a good job for him. I don't like him, but he did a good job.
I know. Maybe it's comforting. We'll see. But people say a lot of shit, you know.
Yeah, he did a very, very good job. Now, today, Cory Booker, who's also a senator, is going to testify against him. So that should be exciting.
Oh, so that's today. I thought that was yesterday.
No, that's today. And no senator has ever done that.
Right.
So it should be interesting. And Representative John Lewis as well will testify. So it's crazy to me. It's like DC and a Schwarzenegger movie put together.
That's true. You know,
I'm dying over here.
I guess we've awakened to a new reality, a new world, you know. But when you think about it, everything has changed around us, you know.
Oh, yes.
People don't shop the way they did anymore. People don't date the way they did anymore, you know.
And it's changing quickly.
And it is, you know. I mean, everything we do, you know, all our stuff is on the cloud now, you know. We don't have
anything. Which I don't understand.
Really. You know, you don't understand what the cloud is? I'll understand.
No, you will tell me, but I bet $1 million every other single person on our listening right now does not understand what the cloud
is. Okay, so let me tell you what the cloud is. Okay. All the cloud means is that your data is sitting on somebody else's computer. That's all it is. So in other words,
is the cloud in a place?
No, it's not a place. It could be any company with computers on it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So like, for example, let's say you have... why are people calling me on my phone? I don't know, in the middle of the show. But let's say you have your photos on your computer,
right?
Yeah, I
have some cute bikini ones that I just shot, right?
Exactly.
Let's say that.
They're on your computer or on your phone, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What happens if you lose your phone? They're gone, right?
Correct, right.
Okay. Right. When you upload them to the cloud, essentially it's like you're uploading them to a website.
I see.
And it sits there.
Okay.
So it sits on the website, and when you need it, you can access it.
Does anyone else have privacy to this website?
No, it's not just one. It could be anyone. Like, for example, Apple has iCloud.
I see.
So, in other words, Apple will organize your stuff. Now, if you have a Microsoft product or a Google product, that's how it works, you know. So, like, Google, for example, everything is on the cloud, you know. It's like you have, like, Google documents and stuff.
Yeah, right.
You've
you can put it on the cloud. Yeah,
yeah. So, that lets you share it with other people.
Right, I get that. But I'm worried about privacy because doesn't that make it so much more liability? Yeah. Like, the vulnerability is there.
I mean, somebody has your information.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want to put it on the freaking cloud.
Right. So, back it up on hard drive.
All right, I will.
That's all you can do, you know. But I don't know. I think it's very useful today.
Yeah, for documents, it's good because you can share at any time. I know my husband does that.
Right,
and I'm
but
it's in the cloud.
But, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody's ever going to get to it. I mean, think about it. They deal with billions of pictures and stuff. What do they care about?
Yeah, but they're leaking presidential shit. They're going to get my bikini photos. I hope they don't.
Yeah,
you know why?
Well, you know what? Facebook does,
I would
too.
Look good.
The stuff that you have on Facebook and Instagram. They have your life
That
here.
Is so unsafe, right? Yeah. I'm, like, posting so many things.
I know. So, like, for example, think we used to have photo albums that were physical. physical. They were there. You'd lose them. They're gone.
Yeah.
Now you have everything on Facebook, so it stays there forever. You know?
I told my therapist, I was like, I just want to put my worries in the cloud.
Yeah, right?
He was like, yeah, I've heard that before. And I'm like, I don't know.
But just think of it as having your files somewhere other than your own computer.
And that just makes me a little nervous.
Okay, but that's how the world works.
I agree
today,
with you.
You know?
You're right. You're absolutely right. You're right.
Like, for example,
you're absolutely right.
Like all the stuff that you do, let's say you shop on Amazon, right? They have all your preferences, all
absolutely.
Your past.
I know.
Yeah, you see, so it's sitting on their computers.
You're
that's
absolutely
what
right.
I mean.
It's hypocritical for me to say that that makes me nervous when I shop on it. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So
to the cloud I go.
Exactly. But my point was that the world has changed so much that so have politics. You know?
Oh, my God. Yes.
I mean, it doesn't work the same anymore.
And what's funny is I used to be on Fox as their, quote, pop culture correspondent. And they've placed me as their political correspondent because pop culture and politics have come together.
Yeah, right?
And they have become a reality show. What I watched, I felt like I was watching a some kind of bad, like, Dick Wolf ending of a Law and Order. Like, it was like a bad press conference, right? That's what's happened. It's pop culture and politics now are one because people are too stupid to want to see anything different.
Yeah, that's true. And I think we've made everything like a reality show.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, you have him, celebrities.
We hired as the president a reality show guy.
Guy.
That's what we did. From George Washington to this guy. God.
Now, I'm reading this. Mexico's ex-president on Trump's border wall.
Oh, God.
Let him pay for it,
he says. Yeah. One of the ex-presidents said, I'm not paying for any fucking wall.
Yeah, right?
Using the curse word.
Really?
Yes. I mean, and then he talked about the...
Of course he's not going to... Nobody's going to pay for this.
And then today at the
press... He's not even going to put up the wall.
No. And the press conference today, Trump goes, I love the Mexican people. I love Mexico. I love the government. The presidents or the prime ministers. I'm like, he doesn't know if it's a president or a prime minister.
He doesn't know.
Olay is what I have to say.
Let's just hope that his advisors are smarter than him and that he'll listen to them.
I think a sponge could be smarter. He's not dumb. We all know he's not dumb, but he's not politically tactful, smart, or in the realm of knowing what he's doing.
No.
As the lawyer said, he's walking blindfold through a minefield.
Oh, wow.
It's not a good way to be blindfolded.
No.
Well, here we go. Game on.
Yeah. Folks, in a couple of minutes, let's go ahead and talk a couple of seconds about our guest here who's going to come up next. We're going to talk about Alzheimer's and dementia. And, you know, usually it's like, you know, old people stuff and that I don't want to think about. I do have aging parents, and I think everybody's going to eventually have aging parents.
I know. I had grandparents. Everyone's seen it. Someone's seen someone where they have it.
Yeah,
everyone gets it.
And it's so sad because, to me, memories are what makes you. Think about it. If you didn't have your memories, you wouldn't know who you are.
It's just, it's terrifying to grow into that.
It really is.
It's so scary for any age. If you've seen it, it's just so terrifying. It's
right.
So hopefully the guest has some ideas about, like, hopefully.
Oh, they do. I mean, she has a lot of good
ideas.
Yeah. Some great therapy and programs.
Results,
and stuff. So that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Although I want to, I'll tease this. I want to talk about Cosmopolitan.
It's great news.
But I don't want to do it before the interview because if our guest is going to have people go to the show. And,
too spicy.
You know, but I mean, because Cosmopolitan, everybody knows, is a very sexual magazine. And we somehow accidentally got it here in the mail.
Accidentally, and air quotes.
Well,
you know you subscribe.
Yeah, look, it's not.
I know you subscribe. Yeah,
if I subscribe, believe me, it would arrive in a brown bag.
Cosmo isn't that
without
bad.
My name on it.
Cosmo's not that bad.
No, I wouldn't want to be caught dead reading this.
Well,
though.
They have helpful advice to guys. I'm telling you.
Really?
I like Cosmo. Okay. Who's on the cover?
Who's on the cover? Isn't that Hillary Duff or something?
Okay.
Yeah,
All right.
I think it is, right?
The Duffmeister.
I can't recognize her.
She and yeah.
Yeah, Hillary Duff.
Okay, good for her.
Right there. The relationship's mistakes you won't repeat.
Oh, God.
Okay, so we'll talk about that. But I do
want
to read some of the headlines there.
Yeah.
So stay tuned after the interview, which is going to happen any moment. They're saying that, this is interesting. In January, I guess a lot of people get divorced. Did you hear about
that?
Yeah. And what they're saying is, I mean, there's probably several reasons, but what they're saying mostly is that the people that decide to get divorced before the holidays.
Yeah. New Year's.
Wait.
Yes.
So they won't be considered as evil for ruining the holidays for their spouse.
So now they're just jerks in the New Year's.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. See, okay. Year. So I thought it might be because you have a New Year's resolution of like, I'm not going to live my life this way anymore.
Maybe that has something to do with it too, towards the end of the year. I mean, I realize I feel it in the business when the end of the year arrives, because I think people reevaluate what they do.
Absolutely. It's all about reevaluating. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. So financially and dating and relationships.
It can be a really potent time. As a Buddhist, you're supposed to take those really heavy times when something's really going crazy. The holidays are filled with juicy material because it's family and it's like reevaluation and it's kind of cold out. And like, there's a lot of things going on. It's a big, big time.
I know. I like that season, but it goes too fast, you know. Although I felt that the holidays were dragging on too much this
year. I loved it.
Right?
Oh, I loved it.
But I know. But it's fun. And then January 2nd arrives and it's like shit. Oh, what a downer.
Oh shit. If anyone's born on January 2nd, it's just kind of just like a kind of a bummer day.
Yeah, right.
A hangover day too, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
My birthday's tomorrow. I'm very
excited.
That's
right. Thank you for reminding
me. Anytime.
And you'll have to remind me tomorrow.
Of course I will. Because we live in Groundhog Day.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm a very forgetful
Hashtag edibles. Yeah. No, tomorrow's the big birthday, big year.
Yes. What year?
I'm going to say it.
35?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, you said big year and you're in your 30s.
35, people.
35, wow.
Sound like an adult. Don't feel like it. Don't feel like it.
Good. Stay this way. You know, I mean, I don't feel like an adult.
No, you do
sometimes.
Not feel like an adult to me either.
Right? Sometimes you're young I'm at just heart. Like, yeah. I mean, I look at myself, I'm like, my God, I'm old. But then when I don't see myself, I'm like, I'm young.
Yeah. Sometimes last night I did that. I was like, God, I'm old. And then I was like, no, I'm so young. And I'm like, oh, just forget it. It's right in the middle, 35. So you have your quarter life crisis, apparently, at 35. Which is
kind of. I guess I did. I had
everyone has a big kind of
my
moment.
30s were tough. I got married when I was 30.
Me too.
And really?
No, I got married when I was
31.
No, I got
married when I was 27. I'm sorry.
We're both wrong.
Yeah. My first child was born when I was 30.
Oh, nice.
But those were tough years for me because that was, I guess they say when you start really facing the pressures of life for the first time, then if you have like a depression or bipolar or something,
it comes
out.
Up, yeah.
And that's when my bipolar came out and I didn't know what it was. I for years I didn't know what I had, you know, but it just like felt like depression.
When did someone diagnose you?
Thing is, one time my cousin called, I talked to him and he says, look, he says, I think we have like a tendency in the family have
like
depression.
A genetic trait.
Like a predisposition or something.
Yeah, that's it.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what is that?
Yeah.
So, so he said, you know, I mean, do you feel like this sometimes? Do you feel like that sometimes? I said, yeah. He says, well, maybe go to psychiatrist, get checked and stuff. So,
good cousin.
Yeah. So I, you know, and I felt, so I went and for years it was just like, yeah, depression, take Prozac, take this, take that.
Sure.
And it took over 10 years until I was diagnosed as bipolar.
Was it a new doctor? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, a new doctor, you know. And even the new doctor didn't give me the right medication. Then I went to another doctor.
You just kept fighting.
Finally got my cocktail. And today I'm a normal person.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I forget what it's like to be like that. But I got to tell you that, you know, going through that in my 30s with two kids, divorce, it was very difficult.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that.
But I can tell you that I think a big part of that, or let's say my condition was a big part of my divorce.
Sure.
You know, because it ruins families. I mean, bipolar is because you're unstable, you know. People don't know what to expect from you.
That's right. It's very unpredictable. Yeah. I've had it in the family as well. And it's scary to people around you because you don't know. But you feel awful for the person going through it.
Right.
It's a full-on roller coaster.
Yeah, but you can't do anything
There's nothing you can do until you're on the right medication.
Yeah.
It's amazing how when you're undiagnosed and you are bipolar, it can leave a huge track in your life.
Or if you're not medicated.
Exactly.
You got to take your medication.
And you got to find someone that will really, if you don't feel right, you got to advocate. You kept going to different doctors saying, this isn't right. This isn't right.
Yeah, don't ever give up.
That's right. Because that's important.
If you give up, that person's going to likely kill themselves eventually.
It's very scary.
Or kill somebody else or be, you know,
eventually. Or have a hard life the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. It's miserable. Yeah. Man. But they're saying that the majority of people that commit suicide are bipolar.
It's very, very difficult.
Yeah, and they say the reason it is because when you're depressed, you're even too depressed to kill yourself.
Yeah.
But when you're bipolar,
manic.
You're depressed and
manic.
You have the energy.
Right. The manic comes in, and if you've ever seen it, it's sort of someone on like coke. It's like crazy.
Yes.
And it's you can't stop, you know.
But I want you to know that that's just part of it.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I would have these grandiose thoughts and stuff, but sometimes my manic part would manifest itself in irritability and, you know, short fuse, things like that.
That makes sense. So manic can also be a bigger umbrella.
Right.
Yeah, it
can be more like, because there's different types of bipolar too.
Wow.
So, there's like rapid cycling and mixed states and all stuff like that.
It's such a battle that you have to face,
really.
Yeah.
But I think we need to salute everybody that
Agreed.
That has mental illness, you know, because, I mean, it's just terrible. You know, you see all these homeless people out there and you go, you know, what are they going
through? So many mental issues with people in the streets, and you don't know if the streets caused it or if the actual mental health caused it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's the mental health
a lot of
that
it
came
is.
First.
Absolutely.
You know? I think you're born
the
with
chicken
it.
And the egg, but you think
Yeah,
it's a genetic issue, and unless you're treated correctly, it's terrible.
Yeah. So let me ask you, what do you think about this? By the way, our guest is not calling. I don't know what's going on.
We got really deep there.
I know.
Back to Cosmo. No,
no, not really.
No, I know.
But I was going to go in a related place, but let me see. What was it? What were we talking about a moment ago?
Bipolar?
Yeah, bipolar. Well, we were talking about
the
bipolar.
Manic.
But we were totally into something else, and I totally spaced out on it now. So, we were talking about, you know, people having mental illness
the homeless,
and stuff.
Is that what you're
doing? I was thinking about the homeless as well, but there was something else also. But, yeah, about the homeless, it's like, where do they shit and piss, you know?
I did not think that's what you were going to say.
I mean, where do they? I'll tell you why. Because the other day, someone told me that a few of them squatted here in the building.
Yeah, I've seen it. Have a woman.
Yeah.
On our block.
Really?
She's the pooper.
Wow.
Yeah,
and you wonder, you know, where do they go?
Yeah.
What kind of a life is this?
It's you know what I always think about?
Like an animal.
I think about the boredom.
Yeah,
I mean, I know. Obviously, you're
That's
like, well,
true.
Also, they live on the streets. Yes, I understand that. But something about the boredom of that,
like
and the
not
isolation.
Doing anything, right?
Yeah, and it's day after day, and it's like a cycle of nothingness. That's what I always think about. Even after all of their hardships, that's really hard.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I always think about that.
I know, I do too, and it's just a sad commentary. I wish there was something more that could be done.
Well, hopefully, to be super honest, in Denver, where pot was legalized, the surplus of money, because they all like if they banked it out there, they all it was so much money. They the surplus went to homelessness.
Good.
So there's an answer. What we need is money.
Yes.
So the money can come from things like, you know, recreational weed or legalized and regulated weed that can really help the homeless. To be honest.
Yeah. And I wonder how many activists they have fighting for them, you know, and that's another thing. I mean, I know there's a lot of organizations out there and people that are helping them out, but maybe it's not enough.
Right. And then you always say, where can you go find shelter? Well, you go on social media. Well, they don't have social media.
Yeah. They don't have anything. They don't even realize what's happening to them.
No, it's very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing I wanted to bring up is I went to the doctor, you know, just to get checked and stuff.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know, I asked him about Parkinson's and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, no, he's looking at me. No, you have no symptoms or anything, right?
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So then but I keep thinking maybe I have something, maybe I might, because my dad has it and my grandpa had it, right? So
it's a valid fear.
Right. So so he says, you don't have any symptoms and stuff. I said, you sure? He says, yeah. I said, great. And then I went home and I thought, you know, I want a second opinion of that. You know, I just want to be reassured.
Sure.
So I wrote to him and I said, an email, and I said, you know, I'd like to be referred, somewhere else. He says, you're fine. You don't have any symptoms. I wrote, I said, I'm concerned. I'm still concerned.
Yeah.
Please send me to a neurologist or some specialist. He writes me back. He says, what did he say? He says, I told you have no symptoms. I cannot refer you to any specialist.
Okay, then get a new doctor.
Right? He says, if you want, go to another internist.
Wow.
Yeah, internist.
Then do, because that's outrageous.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, do you believe a doctor would say this?
No.
And this is part of Kaiser. I should probably complain.
Well, it's absolutely outrageous. If you just want a name, they should give you a name. Just to ease your fear. If that's what you want to do and your anxiety, they do that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, what he was doing is writing me off. And I think this was like a personal thing. Like, hey, you're not trusting what I'm telling you.
No. His ego was hurt in this.
Yeah.
His ego.
I really do think that.
Well, doctors have, you know, they save lives. They have a lot of ego. And it's when you run into these ones that you're like, forget it. Just move on. Forget him and get someone else.
Right.
That's outrageous.
I know.
Put him in your back of your mirror. Just move on.
Yeah. I'll call him, get another name.
Absolutely. And don't even spend another moment with that. That's ridiculous.
That's outrageous, right?
It is.
Yeah.
You're deserved.
I can't believe this.
It's your health.
Exactly.
You know?
And I was thinking, my God, you know, I mean, this, like, he risks, like, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, well, maybe they're instructed to only send someone to a specialist if there's symptoms.
Yeah, but there's no hesitation that he should give with a name.
Right?
He can recommend someone.
Yeah.
Even if he can say, I don't recommend you go because I don't see any symptoms. Here's the name of someone I trust.
Right.
Here, you can reassure
yourself.
But
he has to answer to Kaiser, though. You see, that's the
thing. Well, then can he not have a neurologist from
so
Kaiser?
So he just, yeah, I mean, right. But that's, he just says, get another internist. So
well,
I'm
going
to have to call them and get somebody else.
And I might, you know, copy and paste that email and just say, this is, I mean, that's not really good. Yeah. I know, why spend the time?
Exactly. Yeah, why do you want people to know about your health problems? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Although here I'm talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Kettle calling. Yeah. Yeah. We are on the air.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't care. My whole life is an open
book,
you know?
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Although I finally decided to make my Facebook page private.
Wow.
With 5,000 friends, you know? How private is it?
Yeah, right. You still got a party going on.
Right, I know.
That's good, though.
But I need to start unfriending a lot of people. I don't need all that stuff,
you
know. But where do you start with 5,000 people?
Where do you go?
Yeah, where do you even start?
I know.
So I don't know. It's too much hassle to start unfriending everyone. So you just do it with people that are stupid
or really outrageous.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, it just stays. Yeah. So anyway, I guess it's probably not going to call. So let's get into Cosmopolitan.
Heck
for a
yes. Yas, queen.
Now, did you used to read this when you
what
were younger?
I used to.
You still
to?
Do.
Well, yeah, of course I do.
Okay, so this is the new issue. You haven't seen this one yet.
No, I mean, I don't subscribe, but if I'm at an airport, honey, I'm getting myself
you'll
some
pick it up.
Kit Kat and a Cosmo.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's nicely graphic designed for sure. It's got a lot of, it's like fluffy light stuff. It's not like heavy
this
women
stuff. This isn't Tolstoy,
stuff.
Honey.
Exactly.
It's not some Tolstoy shit.
So let's see.
But the sex stuff is always really good, and it's usually the most real. They'll talk about the clitoris. They'll talk about the nipple. You don't get that when you get teen.
That's true, right?
17 or something, you know?
That's true.
So these guys
gotta
are very good.
There's got to be, I guess, a magazine. There's got to be one magazine that talks about
it. Yeah, trust that. Yeah.
And this is it.
They have a good reputation.
Yeah. Like, it's not going to be in what, Red Circle or
Red Book? No, Red Circle. I think that's Target.
Red Book.
I think you're referring to the store Target.
Red Circle. Very good. But yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Or, no, but I like when a doctor gets involved and tells me, like, what will give me a better like, that's cool.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True. Yeah.
I don't want to be like, embarrassing ways I pulled a tampon out. Like, I don't need to hear that.
All right, so okay, so this issue is concentrating on you come first, and the thing is,
are
I wonder what they mean by
C-O-M or C-O-M-E?
C-O-M-E, but I'm sure they're not. This magazine is not going to write
double.
C-O-M,
I see, not
right?
an entendre.
But I think it is a double entendre. So the big headline is hotter sex for you.
Okay,
turn on tricks, OMG foreplay, big O shortcuts. So there you go. You know, I mean, already, folks, if you're ready for the day, there's some sex tips for you.
What are some big O
mushy moves? Okay, mushy moves.
Ew.
Guys are totally into.
What does that mean?
I don't know. What the hell?
Mushy, like I love you.
Yeah,
sweetheart.
Probably. Like, yeah. That guys are totally into. I don't know what that means. Well,
that's all the
see.
Explanation they get.
Well, that's the headline.
I see.
Yeah,
I thought
it's
on
the
it.
Front
I
page.
See.
I'm not really getting to the articles here. But then they're saying love advice inside, sex secrets, beauty tips, dates from hell. You'll LOL at these effed up stories. So you see, they're using the
Sam, you
slang.
Should read these headlines for them.
Right?
I love the way you read these.
They
read LOL.
With my accent and
yes,
stuff.
I love
I know.
It.
I know, but... yeah, so and then gyno news,
oh.
A controversial new cure for cramps. Would you try it? So
obviously, I think I you know what that is. I've read about that.
Yeah,
tampons with weed in them.
Really?
So cannabis oil inserted into the tampon.
And then what? You get high through
you don't get high. The cramps ease because of the pain.
Oh, so they probably relieving. Use like CBD or something.
Yeah, it's a CBD oil.
Yeah.
Within the tampon.
Yeah, wow.
Interesting, man. Yeah, weed's everywhere.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But and that's the thing, though, is that now it's become so widespread that you don't even have to smoke it. You know,
no,
it doesn't have to be associated with smoking anymore.
No.
You know, it's like friggin' medication. Hey, you know, I got bipolar, get an edible, you're good.
It's so interesting the amount of money that we could make off of this natural tool. Yeah, honestly, it's absurd.
I mean, you go to a dispensary, it's like a friggin' toy store.
It's, it's very interesting. At one point, there's a wheel you get to spin.
Oh, and really?
It's like, yeah, and they're like, do you get like a free like lighter? And I'm like, this is now ridiculous. It's supposed to be a pharmacy.
You know?
This is not a pharmacy. But no, there's a playfulness, a whimsicalness. But I do think the country is changing very rapidly. I think the country changed very quickly on certain topics. Like the gay issue went very quickly from don't ask, don't tell to a lot more acceptance.
Right.
Very, very quickly. And I think marijuana also went from like, just say no.
With Sessions, I don't know.
I agree with you. But Eric Holder
He said marijuana is for stupid people.
Well,
right?
You know what? I could say a lot about Jeff Sessions, to be honest. But Eric Holder also wasn't pro marijuana. But I think the younger people in the generation are very, very pro marijuana because of how practical it is for the economy.
Right.
And
exactly.
I think that they will raise their children and move on and have representatives. These Jeff Sessions, those people are going to die out. You know what
that's
I mean?
True. That's
it's going to be
so
the
it's a matter
this
of
new
time
yeah. It's the new generation. But it's very quickly that this has become something okay to talk about.
And it has. You know,
very quickly.
And also you realize that how many people are coming out of that closet.
Exactly.
Now.
People like lawyers and you see in a dispensary, you'll see the weird goth guy that you're a little frightened of. And then like your preppy, Nantucket
guy.
Right.
Or a guy with a suit.
Yeah,
or something
absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've gone there dressed up and everything. So, yeah. I mean, it's
fascinating.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But I think that the new generation is very secular. They're not into using religion to create laws. They are primarily into science. They are also primarily into interracial and being gay acceptance. So it's a cool new group of young people coming up.
Yeah,
so
for liberals.
Yeah,
it is
that's
good.
True. No, but you know, for common sense. Yeah,
yeah.
You're
but
right,
listen,
right.
You're the younger generation.
Sure.
We are different generations, although we get along so well here.
Yeah.
But we view things differently. You know. So
The
thing is, I see the moving away from religion as not a good thing because I think religion keeps people moral.
I agree. It gives us moral code. But I like the different separation between church and state.
That I do.
That's what
that
I like.
That I do. I don't
and
want a government
that
goes.
And,
you know, we're doing this because of Allah or God.
Exactly.
Or
Jesus. I don't want
God,
any of that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I meant when I say they have a separation between their religion and their laws. They're not basing their religion on their laws. There's no church or Ten Commandments outside of a court. That's just a clear separation that founders wanted. It was written in.
Yeah, but, you know, still, I mean, you have to remember all the founders were all Christians.
Right, but that's why they put that in.
I know.
They were smart to have thought. That's why the founders are so thought-provoking, because they knew what they could do and what they wouldn't do, and they put it in.
Right,
they prohibited that. I mean, they really thought about that. I mean, they also had terrible things like slaves.
But listen, I think they did plan to make this at least a spiritual country or a God respecting country when they put it on our money.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and everywhere
but
else.
But they clearly kept it away from legislation.
Yes.
Clearly.
Yes.
And that is a very strong line that they thought of and said, this could become a problem.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. That's why I personally don't think we should change the Constitution unless it's things that are really like, you know, like cyberspace and shit like that that they couldn't have known.
Sure.
But these things, you know, I don't know. At any rate, I think I have a lot of respect for the founding fathers. I don't think you could find another country that was founded under the same principles.
Do you know how beautiful the Constitution is? Do you know how beautiful
it is?
That's the most beautiful document of foresight and thought and provoking really interesting things that might happen in the future.
And especially during those times.
Yeah, they had no idea what they're thinking
of this.
They had no idea.
That's right. You know, they were totally
exactly
innovators,
right.
You know?
Absolutely.
New thinkers.
I mean, you think of Washington, Hamilton, Madison, Jefferson, Adams, and then you think of Trump, and I'm like, wah.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. And with Washington, you have to respect him because he could have been a king if he wanted.
He said, I stepped down.
Right.
I'm creating something called term limits. That's unheard of. No one wanted him to go away.
Right.
He was our guy.
Yeah.
He was our guy. And he was a stud. And he said, no, this could become a problem. I'm not a monarchy.
Right.
We left England because of that.
Because of that.
For religious freedom and to have a democracy.
Right.
And it's just insane. It's insane to think how we've only had 40 one, two, you know, not a lot of presidencies where, you know, we're right. at what, 44, 45.
44
or so. Yeah. And, yeah. and like, it isn't that many presidents that things have changed, yeah. you know? That's I think true. Trump wants more of a monarch. And that terrifies the shit know. Out of me. Because that's against what we came from.
Right, exactly. But, you know, it's not going to happen here. That's no, what I'm
it
saying.
It won't.
It's just going to cause an explosion politically.
Yeah, the guy said he'll have suits from all three branches because they can't happen. They yeah, won't allow
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bipartisan-wise, meaning, like, this isn't coming just from liberals, but, you know, a Republican legislator will not allow this.
Well,
will not
course,
tolerate
yeah.
this. Will
yeah,
not tolerate
of course
this.
Not.
Yeah.
You know, especially when a lot of Republicans don't really like him.
Right, I know.
You know, they'd rather see someone else.
Yeah,
then.
Anyone.
Yeah.
SpongeBob. I feel like SpongeBob would be great. You got Patrick there.
Yeah.
Attorney General, the starfish. All right, what else yeah. does Cosmo say?
I don't know. So much for Cosmo, yeah. man. I'm not going inside. But
scared.
It does smell very good from all the advertising.
Of course.
For perfumes.
You know what's
stuff.
Interesting? At Obama's farewell, Sasha wasn't there. And everyone's
that's,
freaking
that's
out.
What, so what happened?
She
does
had,
anybody know?
They said, so she went to Sidwell. She goes to Sidwell, which was my rival school in D.C.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We played lacrosse and soccer. We are enemy schools,
what a
however.
Childhood.
So,
yeah,
anyway, we had Secret Service at the lacrosse games because Chelsea would be there. Anyway, they go to Sidwell. It's a great school, by the way. And apparently she had an exam the next day.
Really?
And I'm like, hey, teacher.
Yeah, yeah,
how
yeah.
an exception? Because it was like,
I know.
It's not a big deal, but
hold
it's like.
It up for the whole class even. One
yeah,
more day
just
or something.
One day. Yeah. Just give it a day. So I wonder. It's just very odd. It was very weird. But, you know.
Well, but she's grown now. So
Malia
she's got
was
her
there.
Own
she's
life, right?
Bored. Malia was crying. And then Obama looked at Michelle and he started crying. And I'm losing
saw the
it.
Pictures.
God dang it, man. Is that a romantic man? You got to say, if you hate that man, he's still. You don't like his policies. That's a good husband.
Yeah.
He raised a good family.
Yeah.
No scandals.
And he is personable, you know.
Very charming.
As a person, I think he is.
And
he's
you can charming, tell he's an yeah. intelligent, elegant man.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
no,
a constitutional scholar. No matter if you dislike him, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see the contrast between last night and today. I wrote, yesterday I was cheering and sobbing just because it was a rousing speech.
Yeah, right.
And today I had my hoodie, like, muting the button, hiding in it. I was so terrible. Ugh. I can't wait.
You got to take it easy.
I got to get you're something
gonna,
in me.
You're going to take it easy or you're going to have heart attack.
I think you're right.
You know,
the
you
psychiatric.
You can't take politics that seriously.
But I'm from D.C.
Personally.
It's in my blood, man.
No, I know. But you also have to
relax a little.
To relax a little and take care of your health. You
I know.
Know.
Give me yeah. an edible.
I know.
Seriously, it's just very weird.
Some
for
people,
me.
I mean, I see that on Facebook all the time, though. People like really.
The intensity.
Yeah, the intensity of it all, you know?
Because it's so against what you would think could ever happen.
Yeah.
I guess it just blew our minds. There was no way it was going to happen.
And we're very divided. I mean, there's no doubt about
it.
Yeah. You know, I don't care why we're divided. Well,
right.
I do care, but we already discussed that.
We're
so,
very polarized, right?
We're very polarized. Two sides, and nobody's willing to listen to the other side.
But
at
you know,
all.
If it was Jeb Bush, let's just say, I wouldn't be so like.
Yeah.
What it is it was such a shock.
Right.
It's the shock that.
It was a shock. I'm telling you.
That's what it is. I think psychologically, I'm still like, it's not going to happen. It's
for,
not going to happen.
For LA, it was a shock. I mean, you'd walk on the streets and everything was quiet.
And people, and like, tumbleweeds were going.
I thought if Hillary had won, everybody'd be out on the streets celebrating.
It was silent.
You know? It was silent, at least here in LA, you know?
The church bells were ringing. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was. In LA and DC and on the coasts, it was just a shock.
Yeah.
We woke up to knowing that we didn't reach a lot of the right people, so
yeah.
we have to change things.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's unfortunate, but and you would think, you know, with all the minority groups, you put them together,
yeah,
you probably
think,
have a lot of people, but maybe they didn't vote as much as
or
they
all.
Should've.
I mean, a lot of Hispanics went to Trump. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah,
the
right.
things you that's even the more shocking came out with who voted for what.
Right.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is, I can tell you this. I've seen I've talked to a lot of people since then. Even strangers like in the store or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
The people that are not that are originally not from America and they come here, they view Obama a lot more critically than people that live here.
Mm.
Maybe because of the foreign policy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I'm not just talking about allies and stuff. I mean, I'm talking people from India, people from Asia, you know, things like that, where it really shouldn't matter to them. They're not really affected that much by his foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, see him as a Muslim. A lot of people do. and people
that's
from outside.
That's crazy.
It is, right?
That's crazy.
But that's what people are seeing. I don't
but
know
that's
what to
not
tell you.
Smart people.
When I don't know about that, you know, sometimes
he's not
look,
a Muslim.
He's not a Muslim, but maybe the way but his actions.
His actions make him a Muslim?
Well, look, I don't want to get into that one.
I really don't. I think that's crazy.
But what I'm trying to tell you is that's what I hear people are saying.
I mean, I think you hear a lot of people say different things, though.
No, I know. But I've noticed that about people that were not born in the U.S. and they come here. And although they're American and everything, they saw a lot of flaws in Obama.
Well, I saw people who came not from America very happy with his immigration policy. So we've seen different people. We just run in different crowds.
That's true. You know I guess mean? It depends what you're looking at, right?
I'm an immigrant.
Everybody's
would
voting
really...
with their own interest,
yeah,
I guess.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the bumblebee. Really quickly.
What's bumblebee?
There's the real bumblebee, a bee.
Yeah.
For the very first time has been put on the endangered list. One type of the bumblebee. And if you guys don't know and you think I'm being really weird, my aunt is a beekeeper.
Really?
Yes. And bees hold the a lot of agriculture in their little wings. Really? They cause the pollination that causes us to be able to eat.
Wow.
So it starts with the bee. So the idea that one species of the bumblebee is now being put on the endangered list is horrifying.
It is, It was thrown off the balance.
Yeah, so Obama, one of his last things he's doing is putting this type on the endangered species. I don't know how you tell which bee is what, though.
Yeah, well, they
you know?
Do.
But he's, maybe you know, like, you can't kill an endangered species. I wonder if you're like, oh, I wonder if it's that type of bee.
Yeah, well, maybe the bee experts know where they live.
Yeah.
Where they hang out, those bees, you know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we got to be much more careful with our bees.
With our bees, wow.
Because it will cause an agricultural fallout and crisis. Wow. So it's in the New York Times, this new bumblebee. It's a big deal. I know it sounds stupid, but it's a big deal.
No, it is.
For our farmers, it's a really big deal because they pollinate.
Yeah.
So that's how we get our food.
Hmm. And very interesting.
Thank you.
I mean, the small bees.
The bees.
Small bees.
It starts with small changes.
Yeah.
Small little things.
Another sex abuse scandal now with U.S. gymnastics.
Wonderful.
Doctor. 18 women sue the ex-USA gymnastics doctor, and his name is Larry Nassar.
Huh.
And he's already facing state and federal charges for sex assault and child pornography.
Oh, my God.
Now, Michigan State University, where he was working, fired him last year. But apparently, the civil suit and criminal suit. But now 18 women and girls are coming forward.
Is this all together? Like, is it class action?
It's happening right now. And, I don't know if
gymnastics
it's class
action. Gymnastics has had some really bad stuff.
You know,
past.
Because you have girls that are very vulnerable with grown men.
Grown men with little prepubescent, stunted women.
And you can see that now
no
he's
power.
Got a propensity to child pornography and stuff. You don't put...
Him with a gymnast.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, it's like, you know, on the one hand, you can't put all men in the same category. Right. Most men are not like
no.
that.
No. Right? Especially with the propensity to children.
Right. But yet you're saying, would I keep my men... Would I leave my child with a man?
You mean like a Manny? Like if you had
like a coach and you know coaches, doctors. This is a doctor that was doing probably the pap smears.
I think
stuff.
You know what's interesting is that doctors and coaches, parents have become a little bit more involved as to who and what as their children are seeing and doing because these sex scandals have come to light.
Right, but
it's only when it's coming to
happening.
Light.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, now you know to be more careful. My God, that's terrifying. It's awful for the girls.
Yeah. I mean, pattern of sexual abuse disguised as treatment that began... It began in the late 1990s. It continued into 2016. So it's not like it's something
new.
From the past.
Yeah.
You know, most of the girls were teenagers at the time, although several were as young as 9. Mm. This guy's 53 years
He's
old.
Sick.
Wow.
That's disgusting.
So, yeah, I mean...
And especially in places of power where men are very much overpowering younger women that are very vulnerable, like a coach to a young girl.
Right.
You just have to have your guard up.
Yeah. Or
even as a parent.
A doctor even more so.
That's what I'm
saying.
You trust exactly.
the doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you go in with them or you do something. You don't allow that to happen. I mean, that's terrifying.
Wow.
So I'm glad things like this come to light at least because it prepares parents for what they can do to prevent it. You know what I mean? At least, you know, before like the church scandal, people were never coming forward. So altar boys and things weren't protected. And now at least it's coming forward. So it has to come to light. That's what it has to do. That's for true. Things to change.
But I'm just wondering how it actually takes place. You know, I mean, what does he do? If he's a doctor, okay, let's say he can get to the vagina because he's checking the
minute
stuff.
Oh, I don't want to think
stuff.
About that.
No, I know. But okay. All right. So we won't talk. We won't go there. We don't have to. But no. I don't. My question is, though, how can they still go on with this without somebody saying anything?
Because it's a power. It's the power. It's the psychology of the power. The coach is complete God and in control, or the doctor is. You don't go against the doctor. You're an invulnerable, tiny little person that's being told what to do from day one. You just have a psychology of it.
Yeah. Wow. But when you're 15, I mean, wouldn't you be?
But you've been a gymnast since you were 9. If you were 15, I mean, the mentality is there to listen and do what they say, and so that's just a very vulnerable place for a female.
Wow.
Yeah, and you're a child. I mean, you're a child. It's hard to tell an adult the doctor's doing something wrong.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Especially if he's doing it to everyone. You know what I mean? That you know. It's normal.
But I mean, one of the plaintiffs was 15. And she was seeking treatment back then for wrist and back pain. So imagine, 15 years old, you go to a doctor to help you out, sexually abuses you, molests you.
And it happens more than we ever know, I think.
Right.
But it's when it comes to light that things change. I'm glad these women step forward. It's only with their bravery do things happen.
And I think girls have to understand also, you got to come forward. You know, it's like, but if it doesn't feel right, it's not.
But it's not easy. That's the thing. It's not easy because it's a.
Tell your parents, though?
Even if.
Because you're ashamed of something.
There's shame. Yeah. And shame becomes bigger than the freedom from the sexual abuse.
I think you're right.
And I think unless you're in those shoes, we underestimate the shame that goes through that. How do you tell your dad?
Right.
Or how do you tell? That's embarrassing. It's shameful, even though that's complete irrational, right?
But
that shame, you have to give it its credit. That takes over.
Right.
And then you live with shame
and
this.
Shame. Maybe the shame because...
Psychologically, you're being touched inappropriately.
Right.
You feel shame because you feel dirty.
Right.
It's awful. And it's not their fault. But they feel like it's their fault. It's just terrible.
Wow.
But at least this is becoming more in the news so like you and I can discuss it openly. You know what I mean?
I do. Wow. Terrible. I guess we can talk about La La Land. You said you liked the movie, right?
Loved it.
And it's probably a contender. It earned 7 Golden Globes, right?
It's about Hollywood liking Hollywood. What do you think the Globes are going to do?
That's true, right?
They love each other. It's about loving Los Angeles and Hollywood. So, of course they're going to
The thing is that they're saying now there's an article about how there's nice locales that people should check out in L.A. Based on the movie.
Oh, it's darling. They all go to classic spots in L.A. And it's like Garbo and Clark Gable, and it's all like the 1940s but brought into modern times.
Oh wow, that's very
darling,
cool.
Darling.
Yeah, so and they list like a million movies that feature the LA and stuff in them, but you have to, and that's what we were talking yesterday, remember, about films being made in New York versus LA stuff.
Some iconic LA.
Yeah, definitely. So if you want to see that, it's probably worth it. So what I'm going to do is when it comes to Netflix or something or to the to Amazon, I'll stream it with the sound off.
And so then you don't
I'll
hear musicals.
Exactly.
It's so funny because like my husband also hates musicals. He doesn't hate them, but he doesn't like. He's like, why are they in unison singing this weird song? But to be honest, it's not a ton of musical numbers. It's 2 big ones in the beginning, and then it's just talking.
There are a few talking.
Oh my God, the majority is Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling talking in present time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. It's not like I'm coming outside and walking.
I thought the whole thing
No, it's 2 numbers, and the rest of them is their relationship and what happens. He's a struggling jazz artist. She's an LA actress just like me. And she goes to auditions. And you can see my life when you watch this. Uh-huh. What happens in an audition? She'll walk by a hallway and they're all dressed the exact same. 50 girls and all look thinner than she does.
Really?
I mean, this is my life. And you'll see her do audition after audition. And so it's present time. Well, it's very funny. It's clever. It's cute.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And then you get locales. Okay, so I'll watch it.
It's present time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe the 2 songs are not too bad, you know.
Literally, they're very quick. Just go with it, you know. Take it, just relax through them. And Ryan Gosling is a jazz pianist, and he studied jazz. And all of the shots of him playing are him.
Really?
You'll see that they do a full shot. It's a very, very talented.
Wow.
They're not good singers, but they're good. He's not a great singer, to be honest.
Right?
Yeah, it's not cute. But he's hot and a great actor.
Exactly,
and a great
so
actor.
Forgive him, right?
And Emma Stone's fantastic. She's wonderful.
Yeah. I know. She can
cute
she
as a
can
butt.
Do no wrong.
Oh, she's just darling. Once you watch it, you'll like her even more.
Yeah. But I did like her. I mean, I was totally seduced by her in that movie, The Gangster.
Gangster Squad?
Gangster
Squad. Yeah, she was Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but the way she appeared there was so sultry and seductive, you know?
She got a big old eyes.
Yeah.
Kind of freakishly large eyes. She talks about her eyes. She goes, they're freakishly large. She talks about they look like a bug. But no, she's just funny and real. And she's like a good actress for our time. She's a real modern chick who's a feminist. So she's good for our role models.
Yeah.
She's good. And she's not like, she's funny. I like that she's witty. She's on the talk shows. She's good.
Yeah.
She's very good. And awesome. She's good in this movie, so.
Good. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll see it. Some people said it sucked, but but you said you liked it.
I liked it.
And obviously a lot of people do give it awards, so there you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, if anything, it's a really entertaining movie. Even if you don't love it, it's entertaining. It's well done.
Yeah, and you get to see L.A.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We'll obviously have to reschedule the guest. Something must have happened. But at any rate, we did bring up the subject of dementia, which I think is important to talk about. So,
absolutely.
Tori, thank you as always for keeping us informed and entertained.
Anytime.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.